Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Sonova Cantrell. Today I have a co-host named Anthony Hootie Russo, ex-Gambino crime family associate. Today we're going to be talking about the victim named Jennifer Casper Ross. Hello, Hootie, how are you today?
I'm great, Sonova. Thank you for having me back again.
Yes. Today we're talking about Jennifer Casper Ross. She disappeared from Reno, Nevada in 2005. She was aged 30. She had just turned 30. It was about 5:30 in the morning the last time she was seen. Now, Jennifer has an interesting background, an interesting story. She was a ballerina from childhood on. She became one of the youngest people to become a professional ballerina. And she worked in Las Vegas. She was she did a stint in Las Vegas. She she was on the dean's list when she was in college. She was working as a biomedical engineering student, and then she changed her degree to chemical engineering. And so she was a very brilliant person. She was a beautiful young lady. I have a few pictures here. See if I can share my screen, and I will open them up here so you can see them. I'm going to open this one first. So she started out as a ballerina. She achieved her dreams of becoming a professional. She wanted to do this, but this was always a kind of a side gig because she actually wanted to find a cure for autism or cancer. That was her big thing she wanted to accomplish in her lifetime. So I'm going to make this picture bigger. This is the beautiful young lady that we are talking about. This is Jennifer Ross. Now, Jennifer, in all of her dancing and all of her studio work, she actually met a man named Sean, and he was, I think he worked on the lighting and the set design and that sort of thing. And they ended up getting married, and life seemed to be good for a while. And then things started turning for the worse by the time 2005 came along. 2005 came along just before she disappeared. She actually was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and she had some depression issues and things. And she went and got help for that. She got some medication, and she was doing better. Her mother said that for the last several months before she disappeared, she was actually making progress. She was 1 year away from getting her degree. And this is something that we'll bring up later, the reason why I think that's so important. But she also had a child. And so the night of her disappearance, she had an argument again with Sean. She had decided she was going to move out on Sean, and that she was going to go have some drinks at the local casino. Now, the Peppermill Casino was about a mile from her house, and she walked there. She walked there, and people were wondering why she was there. She had actually worked there. She was a dancer there. She knew all of the staff there. This was a second home to her. She had worked there before until she hurt her tailbone, and she couldn't get another dancing job. Of course, she was the main breadwinner of the family, and she had a son to take care of. So she started teaching ballet to little kids. And then she couldn't do the ballet anymore. She couldn't do the showgirl stuff in Vegas anymore because of her injury. She started becoming an exotic dancer at some local clubs. Now, this is something that caused her some depression and stress because she missed the limelights. You can't say you wouldn't miss the limelights of, you know, being a showgirl in Vegas, but this is something that she felt like she needed to do to continue supporting her son. And so she went to this casino where she was welcome and at home. Somebody was seen buying her, you know, several drinks. She left about 4 o'clock in the morning. She got there just after midnight, so she was there for a few hours. She walked south a little ways further and went to where her mom usually works at the cab company. Now, the cab company, some of the people there remember seeing her. She came there. She was drunk. They said she was somewhat hysterical, and she needed to talk to her mother, but her mother wasn't working that day. Now, this is where things get really weird. It's 5:30 in the morning. just before daylight, someone had looked it up and said that it got daylight at 5:55 that morning. So it was just before daylight, and she was upset, and she didn't have cash to pay for her cab. Of course, the cabbie probably knew her mother, so it would have been okay, but they said she went hysterical. She turned on her heel and started to run away. This broke the heels off her shoes, so she stepped out of her heels. She ran past the people, and behind the cab company was a little fence, and then went into a trailer park. She ran over this fence, she jumped over this fence, and she was never seen again. So that was kind of a quick rundown of what's going on. What's your opinion on this? I know we had kind of talked about this. It seemed like she was discounted because she had become a stripper, and we feel like maybe if she didn't have that on her resume, maybe they would have treated this case different in the beginning. So I'm going to let you talk about this for a little bit and tell me what your opinion on this is.
Well, it wasn't like it was a teenage stripper disappear. It was a mother, a wife, a lady of the community. She lived there. It wasn't like she bounced around. She was in Nevada, the state itself. Her family was there. Her mother ran a cab company there. So I think that all that, people even to say that, it's nonsense, because she wasn't a drifter. She was a local. And she shouldn't have been classified as a stripper. What is that? She danced. She took her clothes off for money to support a family. She had a husband who was a knock-around worker, worked here, worked there, odd jobs, never had anything solid. She needed to support her son. She suffered an injury where she couldn't work in the profession she chose to work in. And during that time, she picked up going back to school, changed her major. Now, this is a person that you can see is changing direction in life and what she wants to do after she gets injured. And it also says, I have skills with dancing. I have skills with, you know, tutoring, because she was tutoring. So she was a smart woman. So she had so much more going on than people just saying this stripper with bipolar who disappeared. So listening to that whole story, and just they get that part out of it, a little upsetting. And me looking into it now and reading into more of this story is like, how hasn't somebody else picked this up and read into this and said, wow, wait a second, there's something going on here? I mean, we see it 1,000 times a weekend when we're all sitting home with a significant other or a friend, and we're watching the ID channel or Lifetime, and it's the husband, it's the boyfriend. They don't even suspect or begin to look at or anything like that in any way before they go to the boyfriend or the husband.
Right.
And it just seems in these cases, they're not, for some reason. Mm-mm. And then, you know, a body just doesn't disappear. All right. Say all of the things. First of all, bipolar. I know a lot of people with it. I was diagnosed with a small case of bipolar. They were wrong. It was narcissism instead. But people with bipolar don't want to hurt themselves. They rather hurt other people. They're very confident, very conceited, very narcissist. So I don't know where people come in with this. She was bipolar, so that. No, that she didn't have suicide tendencies. She didn't want to kill herself. There's a woman that went back to school, that found a job in her lane to support her child, which was stripping, because she could no longer dance as a professional anymore, which was her dream. You don't go from wanting to be a ballerina to a stripper. It wasn't something she wanted to do. This is something she had to do because she needed to make money to support her child while she was going back to school in a different direction of her first major. Now she's majoring in something else, which both majors, her first major and then now being in biochemical, is very smart. It's not something that you could just say, that's what I want to do, and you go and do it. Okay. You know what I mean? You have to know numbers. You have to know fractions and figures. And she wasn't a dumb girl. So this isn't a woman who walks off into the night to commit suicide and then she just disappears.
Right.
She disappeared because somebody wanted her to disappear. Yeah. And she hasn't been found because nobody wants to find her.
If she hasn't been found, I don't see how they could class it as suicide, because if she had gone off into the night to kill herself, they'd have found her at sunup. you know, you can't hide your body after you kill yourself. I mean, that's pretty crude, but you can't, you know, but this is the thing. I think what was so disturbing is the husband kind of controlled the narrative from the beginning. The husband did what he could to really push the stripper stuff. He did what he could to push the fact that she was bipolar, that she was suicidal, all these things. And in reality, she may have had some mental health issues, some anxiety, some stress. She was an A-list personality. She was an overachiever. She was 19 years old. I was looking it up, trying to find the name of the production company. She was one of the youngest dancers to audition and to be accepted for Greg Thompson Productions. She was 19 years old.
I didn't even know. Just not to interrupt you. I didn't know that. That's a good feat. That's something nice to have on your resume.
Yeah. It's not something that she was on Billboard. She started dancing in Vegas. Let me see. I've got my notes here. She started performing in Vegas, and she actually performed in American Superstars and a major production of Lipstick. And she's on all the billboards and the posters. She was one of the main performers at, I guess it's called Haraz in Reno's, in the Sammy showroom. She was one of the top dancers. And so she was on the National Dean's List for 3 years at the University of Nevada. And she never got below a 3.9 grade point average. So we're not talking about somebody that couldn't do anything else. You know, we're talking about somebody who decided she was going to survive no matter what happened. And so her big glitz and glam and all the, you know, the lights of the stage may have diminished for her over time, but she had a plan to continue on. This was her way of supporting herself. She couldn't go to McDonald's and flip burgers and make the money she needed to support her son and her husband in the lifestyle they were used to, because she had been making a lot of money. So she wasn't, you know, she couldn't just go get a teenager's job in some food industry. So, okay. All right. So he says she had postpartum depression to the police, but she was never diagnosed with that. And then in his second story, he told the police that she had taken a red bag of belongings. So like an overnight bag. Nobody else had seen that. So that's another question we can bring up. And then he kept telling the police that it was no big deal because she had the habit of leaving for days at a time. Nobody else can ever corroborate that. And yet if she left for 2 or 3 days at a time, why did he make a missing report? He made a missing persons report. Like,
let's get right into that. The biggest one.
So I'm like, why did you file the missing persons report if she had a habit of being gone for days at a time? So I think he's just creating an alibi.
Why was it the first one? That's going to be what we're going to ask.
Okay. So we want to do that one first. Okay.
Yeah, we're into that.
Okay. So we've already established that her husband has done a few suspicious things. Now, we've also established that usually the husband, the boyfriend, the last person that's seen this person alive is usually the first person of interest. Well, several news reports have actually said that and misquoted that he was actually cleared as a person of interest. That is not true. Dateline has done a recent article where they interviewed the new investigator. He said the husband is a person of interest, him and one other person. So, this man is not out of the woods yet. So let's just put it that way. In Sean's very first statement of this case, he told police that he wasn't worried because she had a habit of leaving and might be gone for 2 or 3 days at a time. Now, nobody else knew about this. I'm sure her mother would have known if she had left for 2 or 3 days and had done this periodically. I say if she had left for 2 or 3 days, why didn't she take her kid? You know, if he was the problem in her eyes, she would have taken the kid too. So that doesn't make any sense to me. So anyways, but what makes it really mysterious and interesting, I should say, is the fact that very first thing the next morning, she was last seen at 5:30 down a mile and a half from their house at the cab company. She ran off hysterical in the night drunk. Nobody seen her get into a car, but the dogs lost her trail at the road. So that there's a reason for that. But Sean, immediately that next morning, as soon as the police station opened, he's over there filing a missing persons report. So what's your opinion on that? Why would he file a missing persons report if she does this all the time?
That is, that should have been the first red flag to everybody. Before we start looking and saying right away, first of all, we hear it 1,000 times. Why aren't you looking at other people? Why aren't you investigating other people? Why am I the boyfriend or the husband? Why am I the person of interest all the time? It's always the guy. It's always us. Mm-hmm. Okay. In this case, it isn't. Mm-hmm. And then if she goes missing all the time, why is this the first time he's ever reporting her missing? Mm-hmm. Why isn't there any, there's supposed to be evidence leading up to saying, okay, there's a pattern here. Where's the pattern? Mm-hmm. The pattern is, he comes in all the time. Wife's always disappearing. No. This is the first time he came in, and this is the only time he came in, and this never came back. Mm-hmm. So wait, red flag.
Exactly.
The only time he ever been here, the first time we're hearing of it, and she nowhere to be found.
Right.
And people like her don't want to commit suicide and not be found. Mm-mm. And with all of these things that they're saying she has, mm-hmm. if she has postpartum, she wouldn't have took on a new career of stripping to pay the bills. She mm-hmm. would have went on welfare, whatever the state gives, mm-hmm. forced the husband to do it. I don't give a shit. You take care of it. That's more of the postpartum attitude, all right? That's just, you can go down and read about this stuff. There's, you know, professors and doctors that wrote studies on this. And the other thing is, which that makes no sense whatsoever, like, why would she be starting herself off in a new direction with her schooling, like mm-hmm. a new major? Like,
right.
Like, which none of it, her postpartum, mm-hmm. she wouldn't even have had, she couldn't come out of the depression enough to decide on which major she should start majoring in now.
Right. Well, I know I suffered from postpartum.
The beginning of it.
Yeah, I suffered from postpartum after my first child, and it totally, and I'm somewhat of an A-lister personality, overachiever type thing. And I know when I went through that for those few weeks that there was no way in heck I felt good enough about anything to get on a stage in front of anybody. You know what I mean? That's what postpartum depression does. Postpartum depression doesn't say, I'm going to kick it and do whatever I need to do to take care of my son. I'm going to, even if I have to strip, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to take, that's not postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is like, screw it all. You know what I mean? And that's not what she had. And the family has gone back and tried to get medical records for her from the hospital and all these things. They did find proof of the bipolar diagnosis. They found no proof of the bipolar, the postpartum depression. They found no proof of that. And I want to clarify the bipolar thing. People have this concept of what bipolar is, and they almost mix it up. They get it all twisted with almost like dual personality disorder. You know what I mean? That is two whole different things. If you have bipolar problems, you don't have a split personality disorder. Those are two different things. But when someone says bipolar, it's like the public automatically thinks of a split personality. Those are two different things. You know, just because she suffered from some mental health issues doesn't mean that, you know, she had these two split personalities. That's a whole different mental disorder, you know. And so this is what the deal is. We've got all these questions. But here's another thing that we want to question. And this is what we talked about in the last show that we did. We're just raising all the questions. We don't have the answers, but we are asking if you have the answers to call in and do something about it. You know, if you have the answers, please, by all means, you know, give those answers.
Well, if you have a green flag to take down our red flags.
Right.
Because we only have red flags. Show us one green flag.
Right.
From any story we've done that we've looked into so far. Show us a green flag, because I haven't seen any. And I'd be the first to say, Sonova, you're getting a little carried away there. It could have been. There's no loopholes here.
No.
Woman's body's gone because somebody wanted it to be gone.
Right.
You now, just walk off into the night and your body's never found again.
Well, and if she had jumped in the river, if she had jumped in the river, I don't care if you get tangled up. I don't care what happens. You're going to end up down the river. This is something no one wants to talk about, but after a body decomposes in the water, takes about 3 or 4 days. It starts, all the gases make it blow up and it comes to the surface. It may come up in pieces because whatever it's tangled up in, she would have came up somewhere downstream. There's just no way around it. She would have come up somewhere downstream, and they have looked in, you know, all the Jane Does that they have found, and she's not there. So that tells me she didn't go into the river. She didn't go into the river. So she is, let's see, there was another question. Oh, the first time around, he said that they argued that night. She had already packed all of her stuff, which we don't know if she had already packed it or not, or if he had packed it because he knew she was gone. You know, that's just my opinion. She had packed up her stuff, and then she had taken a red shoulder bag with some belongings in it when she went. Now, we don't have any video surveillance for the Peppermill Casino. There's kind of a controversy about that, but we'll let that one fly. We don't have anybody that can qualify, who can verify that that red bag was ever seen again. So we, here we are, second story. First story, she just stormed out. Second story, oh, she took time to pack a bag. You know, well, if she had packed the bag, we go back to, she packed the bag, why is she a missing persons the next morning? Why did he file for a missing persons? She took a bag. So would you file for a missing persons if your girl packed a bag and you knew she was going to be gone for a little bit? I mean, she's obviously planning to stay the night somewhere if she's packing a bag. And so first thing in the morning, you got to go to
call Mr. President. She's leaving you. If that's yeah. Just, she packed a bag. She's leaving you. Why am I following that she's missing?
Nothing makes sense.
Your heart that she's breaking up with you.
Mm-hmm. Not right. So it's like, that doesn't make sense. Just like, so the next thing we have that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, what?
No, so that's not choking up. She's leaving for a vacation.
She wasn't. No. So here we go. She goes down. And I keep saying this over and over again. She's literally walked, I think someone Googled it, it is 1.6 or 1.5 miles from her house to the Peppermill Casino to the cab company where her mom worked. So she literally was within 2 miles from her house. She didn't go very far. She was in her comfort zone. She was right where she is. Wow. Nobody's seen her after she hopped over that little short fence. The dogs tracked her scent over the fence. And then if I could get a picture in your minds, we have the cab company and the parking lot. Behind there is a little short fence. There's a little bit of a roadway and then another short fence that leads into a trailer park. She jumps over that first little fence and she's in the roadway, and it's kind of like a back road, a back alley type thing. And her scent goes towards the west or to the right, and then it's dropped off at the road. So where the road meets up to that back alley, her scent's gone. So everyone's wondering, did someone pick her up in a car? We can't find her anywhere else. So did she get picked up in a car? Did, you know, what else could have happened? Why would her scent be lost there?
What roads were there over that gate? Was there any surveillance leading to those roads that they checked? Was there cameras? Was there a red light camera? Because this is 2005, am I not mistaken? Mm-hmm. This is not 1967. Mm-hmm. This is modern day stuff.
Right. And see, we don't have access to any of that. And it looked like the first few years that they just went through the motions, and it didn't seem like it was taken seriously for a very long time. And so we don't know. That back alleyway, as far as we can tell, doesn't have any surveillance cameras. The front half of the cab company could have had it, but we don't know. They haven't released the information, so we don't know. But we do know that there was some mysterious guy that nobody could name him, that's been released publicly anyway. There was some mysterious guy intentionally getting her drunk. To me, she was very smart. She was very good. And yet she was very upset. And so I want to know who this mysterious guy at the casino was. He let her wander off into the dark. She's hysterical. She's drunk. I'm sitting here going, I'm the writer, so my imagination goes everywhere. Did he watch her go out? Did he follow her in his car? You know, why did she get a cab? She hailed a cab at the front of the casino instead of walking down to the cab company. Why did she hail a cab outside that? Was she thinking that he was following her? Was she thinking that she didn't need to be walking in the state? Why did she hail a cab when it was less than a mile away? You know, so that's another question. When she gets to the cab company, she's all hysterical. She can't pay for her cab. Her mom's not there to pay for the cab. Her mom's not there. She calls her dad and says, I need to come stay with you for a while. Her dad's in Vegas. He says, okay. And he was expecting to hear from her again the next morning. Never did. So I'm wondering, did the guy from the cab company that had the hots for her, did he see her there that night and think, well, this is a prime opportunity? Did the guy from the cab company, from the casino follow her? Did some random person see a drunk woman on the side of the road and decide to take advantage? We don't know, but we do know that this is a woman who has a teenage son now, and this teenage son needs to have answers.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did she have a cell phone at the time?
I don't know.
A lady.
I'm assuming she did because she called her dad and she called her mom.
Or a gait. Another thing. With a leg injury.
She had a tailbone injury that kept her from dancing professionally. But okay, that was healed up to where she could still obviously strip. So, I mean, she could still.
Jumping over fences, grown woman. Everything leading up to this and then her disappearing is not frantic act, but acts like she wouldn't normally do.
None of it makes sense.
Somebody that's trying to get away, but is not scared of the person she's trying to get away from, because she went to a local casino. She was having drinks with a guy. Maybe she needed to feel good about herself. That man was making her feel good about herself, complimenting her, buying her drinks, whatever. Maybe she was roofied. Maybe, you know, that date rape drug that they use. I don't know what the name of that drug is. But that was, you know, that's very, you know, big in casinos and with strippers and, you know, trying to get a woman that doesn't want to be with you into bed. So all of these questions, like, is there a police report that detectives, or is there any type of evidence that they followed the chain of command where a detective went forward and questioned somebody at the casino? Who did they see her last? Did somebody go and ask or present a warrant for footage of the night that she was last seen? Or did they speak with the person at the cab stand who had the hots for her? Did they speak to the person who drove her in the cab that she owed the money to that cab driver? Like, all of these people, I'm getting very, like, it's just reading this story this last week or so and getting into the details, there's nothing screaming that this girl did something wrong. Mm-mm. And why isn't everybody else saying what me and you were saying for the last 16 years? We're saying it for the last 16 hours. Why ain't they saying it for the last 16 years? Mm-hmm. This poor girl, this woman, this mother, this daughter. And what, we don't care in this country anymore enough?
It bothers me because, right. It bothers me because I'm sitting here thinking, if this had happened to her 4 years earlier when she was on all those billboards, see, she was on massive billboards with feathers. I've got pictures over here. I was looking for it.
She's worked with the production at the casino.
Yeah. If she was still on all those billboards, in the lights, would they have done something different? You know what I mean? I'm like, because she wasn't celebrity status anymore, you know what I mean? Would they have done something different?
I come from a city, Sonova. They would have investigated the local bag lady if she disappeared. So I don't know. New York City, they investigate everything. Special crime units, they put their money, that taxpayers, they get their dollars worth. They know who did it. And I'm telling you, if something happens to a woman, they're not coming off the boyfriend or close friend. Say she doesn't have a boyfriend, which is the guy that she was close to. They're not coming off that person. Right. And until they can clear that person, then they'll start investigating other places.
Well, but it's standard procedure to start with the inner circle.
I'm used to investigations. I'm used to fine-tooth nails, CSI. Mm-hmm. I live in a city where I see this every day. I come from a life where they use it every day. Life that I was a part of at once. Have the best investigators in the world work in this country. And why wasn't somebody saying, hey, there's a red flag over here. Beautiful young woman with a young child disappears.
Yeah.
Like, why in Reno are they not saying this? It's not some small town anymore there.
No.
It's not a one-horse town anymore.
Mm-mm. No, and the what bothers me is, why is there such a vast difference in law enforcement from county to county, from state to state?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand, because if this, and I hate to say it, but I really feel like if she was still on the billboards running down the highway, they would have looked at this different. But now they're looking at it, this girl, oh, she's on all these different medications. She had alcohol in her system. She was a stripper. She did. I'm like, if she was still over there, would you have investigated this differently? You know what I mean?
No, but it doesn't make any sense, because it still goes part of their cold cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 16 years. Have they declared her legally dead? Because then it becomes a cold case murder.
Yeah, see, we have, they have a new...
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because we don't have all the paper. We do not have all the paperwork on this.
No, and they haven't released it. They do have a new investigator on it, and it seems like he is really picking up the banner and running with it, because he has flat out said that the husband is still a person of interest. He's gone up against all these old newspaper articles that said that the husband's not. He says he believes that this is a homicide. He believes that she did not commit suicide. That makes kind of leads into one other point that I have that I wanted to touch on. He had said that she had suicidal tendencies, and it came through in some of the rumor mill that they had may have seen marks on her arms when she was at the casino. I asked, now when I went to the casinos, and when I go to the casinos, I'm not looking at somebody else's arms, you know, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. So I'm sitting here going, did you really see these things or not? They weren't verified that they had marks, and they couldn't verify if they were self-inflicted or if they came from physical abuse. Now, I did talk to the family, and they said that Jennifer was a very high-spirited woman, and she really didn't think that there would have been physical abuse. She's like, if anybody was going to abuse her, anybody was going to be the abuser, it would have been her. She's like, if he was stupid enough to hit her, she would have hit him back, you know? They don't tend to think that that is a legitimate thing, that, you know, we can't verify it. So, but that leads into something even more disturbing. The police came up with something. I think they were provided with something. I don't think they found this by mistake. Let's just put it that way. There was a suicide note that didn't say she was going to harm herself, but said, gave all the outlines of what she wanted to happen with her son. Who had the rights to see her son and who did not, if something ever happened to her. Her blood was found on the note, and they believe that it could be her handwriting. Well, in this latest news article that was written by Dateline, the investigator come out and publicly said they believe it's her handwriting, but if it is, it was written under duress. They don't believe it's an actual suicide note. But for years, they operated under the assumption that that was her handwriting and she wrote it on her own free will. And so that's the last thing that I wanted to talk to you about before we give all of the rundown of her statistics for people, and give our plea for information, you know. So what is your opinion on that suicide note?
First of all, I don't think it was a suicide note. I think it was a runaway note. I think she had that note written. If it was her handwriting, and the way I've looked at this, that note was written, put away. And maybe a year before, maybe 6 months before, maybe when she first did have the baby, the first 30 days, she was depressed. Maybe she did, but maybe in the depressed in a way is, I have to take care of this family. I don't have, this man's not gonna help me. What am I gonna do? My dancing career is over. I have to go to school, raise a child. Who knows that might've been the depression letter that she just wrote the first 30 days of having a child. Mm-hmm. And I know, the first 30 days of having a child, and I had support from the other side, and I'm saying to myself, and I'm able to do whatever I want and give my child that, is it going to be enough? Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this? Everybody questions themselves. And in her situation, it might've been more. So then all of a sudden she has postpartum. Why? Because she's questioning how, you know, and then so she writes this letter. Mm-hmm. And flip-flopping, she called her father for help. She went to the cab stand looking for her mother for help. I kind of think if she wanted her child to end up anywhere, it would have been with one of them, except the person, mm-hmm. not the person she was running away from. So that don't make sense. You know, and then finding blood on the letter, but blood nowhere else. Mm-hmm. Now, her being an alpha, as I was saying before, where if she'd be hit, she'd hit back. She's not going to have cuts on her arms. She's going to drive really fast on the highway if she has suicide tendencies. She's going to go up to the top of roofs and look down. People that are alphas like her, where she's going to step up and take charge of something, is not going to play around with little scratches on her arms with a knife. She's going to go in. She's going to go in. She's going to learn the ways to do it. And that's not the way she's going out. She's not going out with a bottle of pills. She's not going out. She's putting a 45 in her mouth. She's ending it. Because this is the type of personality, from what we read and what we're being told about her, she has.
Right.
Yes. Right. Suicide note is a BS.
I wouldn't say she's a drama queen, because that has a different meaning, but she's very dramatic. She's very dramatic. She's an entertainer. Right. I could see her going out with a bang. You know,
disappearing.
Her taking her life in a very dramatic way to where the news, she's going to make the news, you know.
Not
she's
doing it when no one's finding her body, Sonova.
No, she's not going to, you know, and I go back to.
Just one more thing. So you do. She,
go ahead.
She would have given a very detailed letter.
Yeah.
If she was leaving this earth.
See, I think it may have been more of, she wrote the letter back when she first decided to file for divorce. You know what I mean? When she first decided, I'm going to leave him, I'm going to write down what I want, and maybe this is what I'm going to give to my attorney. You know what I mean? This is what I want. You know, I think that was just her thoughts on paper. Let's figure out who I want my son to see with, you know, how many hours I want him to have him. You know, I think that was more of a note to herself, or maybe to her attorney, to say, this is how I want the time split up. You know, I don't think it was a suicide note. And finally, after all these years, it seems like law enforcement is agreeing. But I'm going to ask this because, it doesn't necessarily have to have an answer, but other than jumping off the bridge in the river, I have an extremely incredible imagination. I have read thousands and thousands of insane things. I can't think of very many ways to commit suicide and disappear at the same time. Jump out of an airplane over the ocean.
I can't tell you on writing a letter, packing a bag, getting drunk, asking your father to let him come stay with you, looking for your mother, jumping a gate, and all of a sudden you committed suicide and disappeared. None of that. Just the whole wide body of it doesn't make sense.
No.
That whole night. If you're taking your life, you're packing a bag.
The only thing that I would need is whatever tool I'm going to use.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Packing a bag and leaving it there.
I'm not going to take an overnight bag. I'm not going to take a suitcase, you know, nothing. And I just don't really, it just really makes no sense to me how you hide yourself after you kill yourself.
And not her, and especially drama queen. It's only, that's only figure of speech. It's not.
Not in a negative light. She was very dramatic.
Anywhere.
She was an entertainer. From childhood on, she was an entertainer.
She's not hiding her suicide from anybody. And there would have been a lot more signs leading up to that day of her missing.
Well, I could see if she really missed her limelight. I could see her. This is me as an A-type personality. If I had been a prima ballerina and I was so depressed that I missed that so bad that I wanted to commit suicide, I could see myself dressing up in my costume, doing my hair in the bun, you know, putting her ballet outfit on, you know, putting on that Vegas showgirl, whichever one was her favorite, and going out in that. You know what I mean? That to me aligns more with her personality than I'm going to go do all this stuff and I'm going to commit suicide and I'm gone. You know,
her personality aligned more with I'm going to get another job, raise my child. And I'm going back to school to better my education so I can have a better job to raise my child because my significant other can't. That was her attitude. Her attitude wasn't that she wanted to leave this earth. Everything showed she was trying to better herself for her child. Therefore, she wouldn't have left her child. Bottom line.
No, and I think, honestly, she had 1 year left. 1 year. Two semesters left before she got her degree. And you don't get a degree in biochemical engineering and make $5 an hour. You know what I mean? So they say, well, she had a lot of debt, so she was depressed. So she lost her big ballet job, so she was depressed. I'm sitting here going, she had 1 year to hold it together, and her job would pay off her debt. Her job would take care of it. She wouldn't have to strip anymore. She wouldn't have to do this anymore. She had 1 year, and then it was done. She could count down 52 Mondays, and she would be done with this and achieve her what she wanted. So I just, there's no way I believe that this is suicide. So let's give her statistics.
How about this?
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, and I'm giving you 99.9% that wasn't a suicide. And I don't give percentages on nothing because I'm not an expert.
Right.
I'm not a historian. Me neither. A person that likes to look at the facts and likes to read into detail. And all this detail is, no, this woman was the furthest thing from suicidal. This was a woman bettering her life for her child. Right. She wasn't depressed about, yeah, okay. She could have been depressed about not being a ballerina anymore. So you know what she did? She picked herself up from a bootstrap and found a new major. Mm-hmm. She could have been depressed about not being able to dance as a showgirl anymore. So she picked herself up and found a job stripping. She was still getting a dance.
Right.
And just because at one time or another in the night, she has to take her clothes off, that doesn't necessarily mean she's taking her clothes off all the time. If you know this, I've been to strip clubs. I've been involved with strip clubs. That's not how it works, okay? And yes, you know what? It's not just a saying, oh, she's putting herself through college. Oh, she's a single mom raising a kid. No, those stories are real. Those women are out there dancing to put themselves through college. Those women out there are there trying to raise their young one because the father's a half-assed deadbeat. Let's not throw this one away. And I'm glad that there is a worthy investigator on this case now, because this is something that no matter how many stories we go past, Sonova, I'm going to keep coming back to this one to check in on it, because that body's out there and it needs to be found.
Yeah. Well, and the thing with her is she had the type of personality that when she got depressed, she'd get mad and she'd do something about it.
Alpha.
That's I do the same thing. You know, I relate so much to her personality. I was a 4.0. You see this back here? You see this? This is, I got a gold medal and I've got four of these certificates from the U.S. government, from the state that I was in, because my grade point average was so freaking awesome in college. They said, you have the second highest GPA in college. I said, what? I didn't know there was a contest or I'd have been number one. You know, so I relate to her personality a lot. And I'm like, I will get depressed. I battle with depression. But then I get depressed and then I get mad at myself. I'm like, bull crap, I'm going to do something about this. And then that kickstarts the other side of my brain and I go out and take the day. And that's the way I see Jennifer. In she had things, hard things hit her. You know, she had everything as this prima ballerina. She got a injury that she couldn't do it anymore. She probably got depressed for a few days. Then she got mad. She's like, I'm going to become a showgirl. Mm-hmm. I can't do that no more. Get depressed, get mad. I'm going to become a stripper. Get depressed, get mad, do something about it. She didn't wait around for Prince Charming to rescue her. She did something about it. And I really feel like she was going through so much in life and people just want to discount her and say, well, she just had all these problems and she just gave in. Well, I don't think that is her personality. I don't think that's the way she carried herself. I don't have any, you know, evidence that she would just lay down and give up. And so I really think that she was taken out and by someone who, a coward who couldn't handle her, is what I think. And so I know that sounds bad. That's not professional of me, but that's my truth. You know, some men can't handle a strong woman, and that's just the way it is. So she is let's see. She is 5'9". She weighed approximately 130 pounds. She had dark brown hair with blonde highlights. She has big brown eyes. She has the initials JG tattooed on her right foot. Her ears are double pierced, and so is her navel. So I know there's a lot of armchair sleuths that watch my channel. I want you guys to go through all the Jane Does you can find around that area. I know there's a lot of databases that we have access to as armchair sleuths. I want you to go through them. I want you to see if you find someone that has been missing since approximately 2005, someone approximately 30 years old, and that fits these qualifications, because I know a lot of times people kind of tease armchair sleuths like we're just wasting time, or that we have some kind of morbid fascination with things. And in reality, we actually generate a lot of tips for law enforcement. And so I want you guys to look. I want you guys to look through all the missing persons databases, and maybe we can find Jane Doe and give her a name again. Do you have any final comments, Hootie?
Just please pay attention to this one. Let's bring her body home for her son.
Right. Now you need to call the Reno Police Department if you have any information, any tips. I will put the information in the comments below. Thank you, Hootie, for joining us again.
Oh, great. Thank you. It was great being here on the circumstances like this. It's terrible, but I'm glad that we're able to talk this and get it out there more.
Exactly. Have a good one.
Good stuff.